Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. We are on Facebook as well. You go to the search bar, you type in the Matthew Aaron Show, and you click enter, you click search. You hit that little like button there, and you get all our updates on every show, every week. We are on like 200 million episodes right now or something like that. Let's see, what else is going on? We're on Stitcher. You can go to Stitcher, you can listen to the BBC, you can listen to Adam Carolla, you can listen to us. I preferably choose us, and then the BBC, and then Adam Carolla. Where else are we? iTunes, you can subscribe there. You get the subscription. The shows just get sent to your iPod. They get sent to your computer, whatever. And you can listen to them whenever, wherever you want. You leave your comments at the end of the iTunes, you're keep them pithy and don't bloviate. And then, of course, the best way to listen to the show is www.thematthewaaronshow.com. And here we are today. This is for those at home. I'm not live at the moment. I apologize. I just got done filming principal photography on my first film. Thank you. I don't even have my sound effects. I was going to do clapping. I don't have anything prepared. So it's been a long, long shoot, people. Real quickly, I guess I'll just tell you, shoot went great. I appreciate everyone's support and love. I appreciate the Suburban Life for doing an article with me. I put some other interviews on hold until the film's ready. I don't want people to forget about it because I just did this one, this article here. It was a great interview. You can read it at The Suburban Life. And I appreciate it. I was honored to do it. What else? We got working on a second film. It's in pre-production. What else? Oh, and I just sent in a revision of my pilot, and I'm hoping to get another pilot or two done by the end of the year and out there in the ethers, if you will. So today I have three guests. And I want to thank the Hollywood Palms for having me last week on Route 59. They had a Sin City 2 event and they had a Ghostbusters 30th anniversary event. And I got to sit down with Crystal McCahill and Patricia Vaughn from Sin City 2. Patricia Vaughn is Robert Rodriguez's sister, and Crystal McCahill's a Playboy playmate. They're both in the film. Rosario Dawson was there, and I got to look at her and wave. And no, I'm just kidding. She's wonderful, but she was not available for an interview at that moment. Politics, I think. And Ernie Hudson was in for Ghostbusters 30th anniversary, and I'm so pumped to play these for you because these were just exciting things to talk about Ghostbusters and Sin City. So by the way, I also wanted to let you guys know too, that the Hollywood Palms on Route 59 in Naperville, Illinois. It is the most epic movie theater you'll ever be at when it comes to memorabilia, merchandise, atmosphere, everything. It is just like glorious. If you thought Hollywood Boulevard was great, owned by the same people, if you thought Hollywood Boulevard's great here in Woodridge, you got to go to the Route 59 one in Naperville. It is out of this world. People try to tell me, well, what can you compare it to? And I say, well, maybe the Egyptian in L.A., except the Egyptian doesn't do half the shit that they can do over at the Palms. So if you got to see a movie, you got to go to the Palms, man. Hollywood Palms is over there on Route 59. We're going to open up with the Ernie Hudson interview because I know you guys are excited about that. Ernie and I sat down with Michael Terzo for about, I'd say 20 minutes or so. And this is Ernie Hudson talking about Ghostbusters 3, Chicago, and many other things. After that, I will come back and I'll introduce the interviews with the girls. And then I'm just going to leave you alone today. And tomorrow on the show, on our next episode, we have Daniel Baldwin and Jay Chandrasekhar. Jay says I say it like I'm from India, so. Well, we'll see. Of course, Super Troopers and Beer Fest and those movies were his. So here's Ernie Hudson.
Okay, Matthew Aaron and Michael Terzo here with Ernie Hudson. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters here at the Hollywood Palms. Ernie, I saw you've been in town. You did the White Sox game the other night. You threw out the first pitch.
I did. I threw the first pitch out. It was a real exciting moment until I threw the pitch, and then it wasn't so doggone exciting. But
and then you ripped off your Canerco jersey and had your Ghostbusters shirt.
Yeah, I had to sort of represent Ghostbusters.
Get the cheap pop.
But, they should give people a chance to throw the ball at least one.
Oh, you didn't get any warm-ups?
No, they had me warm up in a hallway, which is not outside on the mound. It's a whole different thing. So, so you should be able to throw the ball just one time would have helped you judge the distance. But whatever, it's over. I'm over it.
How many first pitches have you thrown? You've had to do it twice? What's the other game you did it at?
And it went in the ground that time, too. So, I don't know. Maybe it's me and not the. But you know, it was a great experience. It was great being there with the, in the ballpark. You know, so
yeah.
So
it's
I'm
really
not a big
cool.
sports fan. So
yeah.
if I'm honest, I don't really follow.
Hey, you look good in the jersey. Sell it.
When I was a kid, I was very good at it. You can't tell by the throw, but but I actually was very good at it. But I just never really. Want to go down that path in sports. So
yeah, so let's talk about Ghostbusters. 1984 Ghostbusters comes out. Would you consider Ghostbusters like the biggest break for you, like in that time in your career? Obviously, it puts you on like a different stratosphere, Ghostbusters.
No.
What was your big break for you?
I haven't had a big break. I keep waiting around for a big break. When the hell is a big break coming? I'm serious. I don't know.
Everyone knows Ernie Hudson.
I worked
big.
My butt off
that's
year
right.
after year after year. It wasn't
that's
like
right.
Ghostbusters changed. I mean, if Ghostbusters came out, I couldn't get arrested for 3 years.
Oh.
Well, I did 8 movies back-to-back, and then I did the second Ghostbusters, and then 2 years before I got another movie.
Yeah, what's the deal in the second Ghostbusters? You're, like, missing the first, like, 30 minutes of the movie.
You notice that's the same thing in the first movie. You know what? I love the guys, and I had an amazing time. A lot of fun working with the guys. Love them.
Yeah.
Very, very kind, very giving, very funny, all of that. The studio, for whatever reason, seemed to make a decision to not include the Winston character.
Mm.
And I think that sort of reflected. I mean, when they came out with the movie on the poster, it was so many little things done. And it was hard. I mean, psychologically, it was very, very difficult. Then we came out with the second movie. They did the exact same thing again. So, and then fans will ask me about it. I'm like, I don't know, because those decisions were made by people who wanted it to be 3 Ghostbusters, but just in case we'll throw this other guy in. But the fans have embraced Winston, and I'm very proud and happy to be a part of it.
You have some of the best scenes in the first film. In the first film, you got that scene with you and Aykroyd where you're driving across the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah, going across the bridge.
Okay,
yeah.
That scene you guys have is phenomenal. And then of course you have the best line in the movie when someone asks you if you're a god.
No, I had some great lines.
And you close the movie.
Yeah.
You close it.
Yeah, you would think they would have got the idea. But man, it's so the studios, I think when you work in Hollywood, you just know that, you know, it's an insane business, and trying to find reason is just not there. So
yeah.
The hard part is, how do you keep your balance, how you keep your sanity, how you stay happy, and because when you're counting on that to do this, it just doesn't work. Well, at least it hasn't worked for me. I mean, it has for other people. But
I always tell people, if they want to see you, I think, like, your finest acting, some of it is on Oz. And how was that to do Oz for all those years? Did you?
Yeah, Oz was great. I think it's the best ensemble group I've ever worked with. I mean, those guys are great. Those guys really put it all
it
on the line.
It broke some barriers for TV, too.
Yeah, it really did. I was so, happy to be a part of it. But I've been blessed, and done a lot of, stuff that was, whatever. But in between, there's some films that I'm really proud of. Proud of the work on Oz. Proud of working on The Crow, even though it was tragic what happened. But I think it turned out to be a really amazing movie. And
I
love doing Congo. I love doing The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I mean, I've had some films that that I stand by.
I just talked to Rick and Sheila, who did Hand That Rocks the Cradle, mm-hmm. with you, and we were talking about you and just what a terrific actor you are.
Oh,
what do you have that's coming up for you that you're proud of? Do you have anything on the doc?
Oh, there's a movie called Gallows Road. They just had a screening of it in Los Angeles a couple of days ago, and Kevin Sorbo is in it, but it's a wonderful little story. I think they're trying to get a February release. You do these independent films, you're never quite sure when, what's going to happen. But and there's probably about six movies waiting to come out. There's a movie I did with Dean Cain. Who knows? It was a Christmas movie, but who knows what happens with it.
We just finished an independent movie, and I feel like while there is, you never know what's going to happen, there's a lot of artistic and creative freedom with doing independent film. Do you feel that sometimes you get to do some of your best work doing independent films?
Well, I think, you always sort of go out to do your best work, but it gives you a chance, hopefully, to do something a little bit different. A lot of times there are things about it that the story in Gallows Road was a little bit different story. I did a movie that's coming out October 10th, I believe, with Emmy Rossum and Hilary Swank. Josh Duhamel is in it. Call You Not You, and it's a little bit different. So I'm always looking for something
cat.
A little different. Yeah. I just finished a movie. It was a short. HBO is doing a series of short movies, and it was a little short. They sent me the script about a guy who had lived in Korea and split with his wife, and now he's back in this southern town. But I love the character. I love the script. The girl I work with, I'm going blank on her name. Last name is Kim, but it was just a two-character film. But it was a wonderful stretch. It was wonderful. I speak a little Korean, which I can't even repeat now. But but it was a lot of fun, and I think it's what you look for as an actor. And to do the same stuff over and over, I'd rather not do it. I've started doing more public speaking now. I love going and so many issues in our community. So a lot of times people make assumptions when they see you on the screen, and I get asked to come and tell my story, and I always enjoy, doing that. But I'd much rather do that or do a convention than do some movie that I'm embarrassed by.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed by too much. It's hard to embarrass me, but there's sometimes there are things that you just go, why am I here? I did eight episodes of Desperate Housewives, and I kept saying, guys, why am I here? I mean, when I signed on, they sort of described the character, but I'm here and I'm just the detective. There's nothing. Hell, it's Desperate Housewives. I should get to sleep with somebody. Really? I mean, come on.
Do you enjoy doing Modern Family?
Yeah, but once again, I'm not doing a lot. I did two episodes.
And, yeah.
I love it. But I'd do anything for Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill,
There's some people in the business, Bill Murray, Ed O'Neill, Woody Harrelson, guys I've worked with, who are just amazing, cool people, and I like a lot. And so Dean Cain called me when he had this little movie, and it probably is not a movie that I would have done, but the fact that he asked me to do it, it's like, I'm that's when I enjoy working, when people sort of
Do you like working with your friends? Do you build good friendships over the years? And
yeah.
It's nice to be able to spend time on, and do something creative and collaborate.
And help them realize whatever it is they're trying to do. And I like working when people respect me enough to offer me something. I hate
auditioning.
I hate it. We talk about that on the show all the time.
I can't do it, man.
I'm burnt out. I cannot go in. And when I audition, I feel like I'm walking in a room, pulling down my pants and standing there. And then they say, okay, and then you pull your pants up and try to regain a little bit of dignity and walk out of the room. And then they don't get you. And it's like, oh, okay. It's like, well, we don't want Ernie. It's like, well, geez, did I pull my pants down right? Did I pull my pants up too soon? It's like, yeah, it's not good.
Mikey and I show up here at Hollywood Palms, and everyone's in their Ghostbusters gear. They got the proton packs. They got... Like, and you're doing Q&As. When you do these Q&As for these type of events, what's, like, the craziest questions you're going to ask? Is there anything that, like, off the top of your head, you were like, that question was out of their minds?
No, because, you know, it's crazy anyway.
Yeah.
So you expect crazy. I mean, if somebody came up with some really smart, logical questions, I'd be, like, shocked because... You know, people are supposed to ask about the Marshmallow Man. They asked me downstairs, how tall was the Marshmallow Man? And what do I say to that? He was 60 feet tall. Watch the movie. You know? But I expect that. And it's fantasy. It's part of, so that's all okay. I can roll with that. I don't really expect people to be, and, you know, I find it's more, sometimes situations, you know, being in the bathroom at a urinal with people asking about the big Twinkie is not what you really want to, you know, do. But, and people will. I mean, people, I was at a gym I worked out, and a guy came in. He was just so excited about Slimer and, you know, and was sitting there in a steam room, and it's like, I'm not trying to be, you know, but come on, really. I don't want, you know. But I hate to be rude to people because I don't know who's got a gun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, be the one guy said, no, I don't want to talk about that. And he goes on the parking lot and comes back in.
Well, we noticed when we came in, we said, Ernie's looking good. So now we figured it out. You're going to the gym. You're hitting the gym.
But not, I haven't been to the gym in about 6 months.
You got to eat right, though, too.
Well, you see, it's big well, yeah.
popcorn.
Yeah, that's
well,
big
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm real particular on my diet.
I mean, I try, you know, because I got to tell you, as you get older, the weight does nothing for you. It does absolutely nothing but clog up the arteries.
Yeah.
So if you don't end up with diabetes and get your toes cut off, you know, you just have to kind of go, all right. And no, I eat crazy. And I travel a lot.
And you're
but every
Chicago.
Once in a while, you look in the mirror like I did this morning and you kind of go, okay. Go too far, then it's really hard getting back. And you'll be fine during your 40s, but when you hit 50 and you hit 60 and you hit 65, and then you can't move because all that pizza you ate 20 years ago is still sitting in your gut, and you're wheezing there, you know, and you're still hoping your wife will find you attractive, and she's got to wheel your ass around at a Walmart. It's not a fun thing. But that was all part of a joke in there, but it's sad because so you have to say you have to and nobody will be kind enough to say do something.
No,
you got to be the one that kind of go, is this how I want this thing to end? Do I want to end on that note? I mean, now nobody knows how it's going to end, but I don't want to be laying there and I, you know, they got to lift me out of the bed and I'm, you know, they can't find a box big enough to put me in. You know, and I know that all it takes is just eating. If I eat everything I want, I'd be easily 350 pounds.
Is that
easy? It wouldn't, you know, wouldn't
I have a feeling you may break your diet being in Chicago, though, in Naperville.
You know,
we got some good grub here.
We got some great food in Chicago.
Especially
I mean,
the Hollywood Bowl.
I was in New Orleans, man. I ate so much food, but you know, you just have to. You got to be the one to say no.
And, I couldn't live in New Orleans.
You know,
I see all the food
oh
they got
God.
In New Orleans.
I never had a bad meal in New Orleans. I mean, no matter where I ate, it was all good. You know, and but you, what do you do? I mean, that's. It seems to me that, you know, life is, you know, spending happy life figuring out what you really love and what you really want, and the second half is having to deny yourself what you figured out that you really want. You know what I mean? It's like so, but anyway, I just think that it's something that we have to be mindful of, because I got to tell you, man, I see friends, they're not in the best of health, and, you know, all that smoking, all those habits, you know, you think you got away with it when you were 30, you didn't get away with it. It comes back to haunt you. So I've always had children, so my kids. I mean, I was smoking weed about 40 years ago, and the kids found it and threw it and flushed down the toilet. I was so upset, and I said, what are you going to my door? This is mine. And the kid said, Dad, but you said, you know, you wouldn't want us doing it. And I said, well, you can't do it. And they said, well, how come you can do it? And so one of those kind of things, and I go, well, maybe that's right. If it's not good, it's not good at all. So I don't have a problem with anybody doing whatever you want, but I do think that you have to be mindful that their consequences, everything we do.
So what can we expect from Ernie Hudson coming up outside of film? You said you're doing a couple films you got coming up. You're doing some speaking engagements. Well, you're touring. Are you on the road, like, all the time, it seems?
Yes, turning into that. And I got to somehow find a way to kind of go, no, stop. I mean, I'm speaking in Washington next month. I'm flying to Salt Lake City. There's a convention in Salt Lake City that I promised to do. They're doing a big photo shoot for Ghostbusters. The Blu-ray. They're going to do a big thing up there for that. I'm going to New York to do some press. So it's jumping around. In the past month, I was shooting a show called The Lottery in Montreal. I was up there about a week and a half. Then I went home for 2 days, got my wife. We went to Hawaii, came home for 1 day, and then went to Dublin. Mm. And then came home for 2 days and had to go to New York. And so after a while, it just starts to be a little bit, because that can be really stressful too. You know, when you're doing it and you love it, and I do love it, and as long as I'm on top of it, it's fun. But sometimes it just, you just go, wait a minute, when do I get a break here?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to get a little bit. And when you're not feeling good, I think that's a sign that you need to stop doing what you're doing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to, you know, try to enjoy whatever. I mean, I'm here. And so we try to go with the flow.
Well, before I let you go, you said you were in Dublin. What was the best thing you did in Dublin? I'm curious.
Well, you know, we have
I was there 10 years ago.
Oh, sorry?
I don't remember half of it.
It was fun. It was fun going to that, you know, the district where the little bars, I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
So they
still have the gypsies that walk around with the babies try to, like, rob you?
Yeah, you know, but it was such a... You know what it was about Ireland that, and I've been to Scotland, I've been to most of the European countries. I didn't find one person in Ireland who didn't have a sense of humor.
Mm.
Like the coolest people, nice people. Every time we would pull out the little map, somebody on the street, just people, would stop and say, oh, you don't need a map. You know, where you want to go? And great people, great sense of humor, and just a really warm country. And I was... really, just very touched by it.
Yeah, I love you. Mike, you got anything for Ernie before we let him go?
No, I'm
He's
good.
Got more Q&As here at the Palms
good.
To do, Hollywood Palms.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, give it a good shot. I'm going to hang and meet the kids. I love the kids. Kids dressed up in little outfits. And
it was cool to see how happy you were to sign autographs, though, for people and take pictures and stuff. I mean, it didn't seem forced at all or anything. You seemed to really enjoy it.
No, I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
That's
enough money
great.
To make me leave home. But I do like it. I like the fact that people love the movie and they love the character. I mean, that's, to me, to be honest, I don't know anybody who I'd buy an autograph from.
Mm.
I mean, it's just me because I don't collect stuff. But the fact that people... do it, how do I, you know, not be nice about it? I mean, how do I give them a bad experience?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thankful that they come out and they go to all the trouble of making the jumpsuits and I'm going to have an attitude. I mean, please, you know, I should be thanking them. So it's, I don't want some little kid thinking, you know, when I met that guy and he just, you know, wasn't kind. So, but I love the people and I appreciate but especially, like I said, the little kids, because they're just amazing.
And if people want to get to know more of your work outside of Ghostbusters, let's say the hardcore Ghostbusters fans are listening,
right.
What's your favorite movie of yours that you would point them to? The Crow?
You know, yeah, I still haven't had that role yet. I did it on stage with a play called The Great White Hope, and I felt that everything that I had, I brought to that. Most movies, they only want a little bit of what you got. Ghostbusters, how do I fit in with this group? I mean, how do I get my stuff in? And the studios aren't asking for you to bring everything that you have. But I just say, you know, between, you know, what I did in Hannah Rocks the Cradle or what I did in, you know, The Crow, what I did in, you know, Oz or what I did, you know, it's kind of a mixture of, but still looking for that defining role.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, I'll find that. And but I'm not.
You did some great subtle work on the last season of Law and Order, too.
Yeah, I like that. I like it because, you know, I wanted to do the show, but I didn't want to be a one of the...
Case of the week.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the case. I didn't want to be the villain, and I didn't want to be a cop.
Yeah.
And this is great. I was there for Aphaetha, and it's very...
And she's great.
She's wonderful. She's an amazing lady.
Great
actress.
Oh, that's great. Well, we appreciate you coming to the Hollywood Palms here, Route 59, Naperville, and Ghostbusters 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
And we thank the Palms for having us, and thank you, Ernie, so much for sitting down.
Well, great talking to you guys. Good luck with everything,
sir.
All right?
Thank you.
Hit that gym.
Thank you, brother. I'm changing all of the stations. I like to think that we had it all. We drew a map to a better place. But on that road I'm circling for. Oh baby, why did you run away? I was there for you when your darkest night. I was there for you when your darkest night. But I wonder where we are.
All right. That's Ernie Hudson, and that's Maps off the new Maroon 5 album, which I thoroughly enjoy. I think it's their best work in years. Ernie Hudson, he was great. Wow, what a great guy. We were told, Ernie's exhausted. And you know, even Ernie was like, yeah, what do you think, guys? Like 10, 15 minutes. And we went over with him because he did not seem to want to stop talking to us, and we were so happy that he didn't. So definitely, Mikey and I discussed it afterwards. It was one of our most enjoyable interviews in a way because we love Ghostbusters and we love Ernie. And, yeah, you heard me. Ernie's just... I was glowing about his work overall, even just all his work. So that was great. I wanted to remind you once again, coming up here is Crystal McHale and Patricia Vaughn from Sin City 2. And on our next episode, once again, I wanted to remind you, is Daniel Baldwin and Jay Chandrasekhar. Yeah, that's right. Super Troopers, Beer Fest. Dukes of Hazzard. He directed all those. He's directed some other a ton of TV, everything in TV, and he has a new show, Really, on Amazon Prime right now that you need to go watch the pilot of and vote so they make more episodes of. So coming up here, Sin City 2 came out, and at the Hollywood Palms they did an event for Sin City 2, and two of the lovely, lovely actresses they had in town for it were Crystal McHale, Playboy Playmate, and Patricia Vaughn. And Patricia Vaughn is Robert Rodriguez's sister. So we were talking a lot about art and creativity and just what it's like to be an artist. And Crystal and I, we were talking about boobs. So once again, I want to thank the Hollywood Palms in Naperville, Route 59. Definitely go check this place out. The price of admission, which is like, I don't know, I think it's like $8 or something. And then the food, you get food there. I mean, you get a menu and you order it up. And they got huge drinks. They got ice cream martinis. I don't even know what that is. Okay, this place is insane. They got ice cream martinis. Okay, but to see the waterfall alone, I'd pay them $8.25. I'd give them an extra quarter. That's how great this waterfall is. So please go check out the Hollywood Palms. I believe Dan Aykroyd's coming into town for them next month. They do the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I believe it's every Saturday night at midnight. And, I mean, people get into that, okay? I'm going to see if that's at the Palms or at the Hollywood Boulevard. Maybe it's at both, right? Let's see what special events they got coming up. Well, you can watch Bears games there. You can watch Bears games at the Hollywood Palms. That's cool. Dan Aykroyd's going to be there for one day only before showings of the Blues Brothers. He'll be taking pictures, giving autographs, and doing a Q&A. They have a Wizard of Oz weekend, a Christmas Story reunion, which is cool. What else they got going on? It's a Wonderful Life, The Sound of Music, Children Live. So at the Hollywood Boulevard is when they have the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it's a sight. Classic film series coming up. They got The Godfather, I believe. Yep, they got The Godfather this weekend. Jaws, Godfather Part 2 is coming up soon. Goodfellas, Fight Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Untouchables. What a theater, man. What a great theater. I'm going to be going there to see a bunch of those. As we know, I love the older films. And, yeah, I mean, they've had everyone there, from Jennifer Hudson to Peter Falk. Peter Falk and Paul Reiser, when they had their movie out. Tony Curtis has been there a bunch. Michael Madsen has been there a bunch. David Carradine, Otis Day and the Knights. Leslie Nielsen was there. I mean, like, just an awesome theater. Rosario Dawson, as we just talked, was just there. So let's get to that interview. Sin City 2 with the ladies here. Crystal McCahill, Patricia Vaughn. Please enjoy.
Okay, this is Matthew Aaron. I'm here with Patricia Vaughn and Crystal McCahill, Sin City 2, Sin City 1. This is like a very exciting sequel, but it's like, I guess my first question off the bat is like, it's 9 years later,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is something that was rumored from day one after you guys did the first one. And obviously, Patricia, you're very close with Robert, him being your brother. So you may have a little more inside track on this. Was it accurate that they've been trying to get this movie made for 9 years?
Sure.
Yes.
But how many movies take forever to not be made?
Yeah, right. So I guess what happens in that 9 years to get a movie made? I think that's what people are curious about, because the first one was a hit.
It's not just one answer. I think it was financing. It was the Weinsteins going from Miramax to their own, you know, Dimension Films is Miramax Troublemaker Studios to make this happen, and a lot of other investors. There were how many incredible, you know, top caliber actors and actresses in this film.
Yeah, you had Mickey Rourke, Jessica Alba. You got to get that whole cast
Bruce
back.
Willis,
Bruce Willis.
The new Dame to Kill For, it was like Gone with the Wind, trying to find the Dame to Kill For. It was like trying to find the perfect, Scarlett O'Hara.
I never thought about that. It's a crazy lineup of people to get back, too. You're going to have to find the right time frame to do all that. And
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Right?
Yeah.
And to find the actual perfect woman to play Ava Lord, it was an Ava Green. So, and they were like halfway through filming, they still didn't have her. And so, you know, time was of essence. And if you don't have your main character, I mean, it is Dame to Kill For, and if you don't have your dame, okay, what's going to happen? So, but it was also, yeah, Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon. Let me just like,
right.
You see the
everyone's in it.
Top-notch
everybody's
actors,
in the movie.
And, you know, are they out-of-work actors? No,
no,
they are in demand.
No.
So it was Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez, my brother, who insisted on having these characters. Frank Miller was quoted in saying, since Brittany Murphy had sadly passed away, he did not want to replicate her. He said that character will not return to Sin City 2. So he, you know, that really scarred him, the loss of her. So I think it was just a matter, and my brother did say in one of his interviews that they really, they had to go on hiatus for a month to wait for Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
And it was, and when once Josh Brolin entered the scene in Austin, Texas, at Troublemaker Studio, where my brother films all of his films in an airport hangar, which is Troublemaker Studios. He said, you know, Josh was like, well, where's Mickey Rourke? I have all these scenes with Mickey. And my brother said, he's already shot every part. He's gone. He's already done. So you're going to have to, you know.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating?
So how does someone like Josh Brolin, who's, I mean, we're staring at a Josh Brolin poster right here. Okay, it's Josh Brolin, Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
They're all acting together.
Yeah.
So Josh Brolin is acting in scenes with Mickey Rourke, but because most of this is on, what, green screen, right?
Green screen.
And so most of this is on green screen, so Mickey can shoot his stuff and basically leave.
Yeah. And him and Jessica Alba had already shot all their scenes.
Oh, wow.
But my brother,
so how's that to act when he's not there?
It's like theater.
Yeah.
And if anyone has ever done theater will know that you have very little work with, but that makes an absolutely strong actor.
Yeah.
And they come out being better actors because now they know how to do theater and now they could do Broadway.
So, Crystal, you are, first of all, I wanted to talk about, so we're at the Hollywood Palms on Route 59 here in Naperville. You are from the Chicago area,
that's
correct?
Right.
Is that true?
Okay.
All right, I'm just making sure. I was up till 6 a.m. working, so making sure I'm not crazy.
I'm a true Chicago girl forever and ever.
Is it fun for you to be back here?
Oh, my gosh, so much fun.
You're not that far from where you grew up, right? 45 minutes?
You know, I kind of grew up all over Chicagoland.
Oh, really?
So I was born in River Forest, but I lived in the city like the last, I don't even know how long. So, yeah, it's a real treat for me to come back to my hometown. And I love, like, all the support that I get from everyone here.
You have a lot of friends back here still and everything?
I have my whole family, 6 brothers and sisters. And,
wow.
You know, my mom's still here. And it's, just, like, really neat. And just not only, like, my family and friends, but the whole Chicagoland just really is been so supporting.
Are they all coming out to check out the movie?
Yeah,
are
absolutely.
They coming to check you out doing the Q&A and everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's cool. That'll be really cool. Have you been to the Hollywood Palms yet?
No, this is my first time.
I love it. I love it. It really does have, like, you know, the old theaters in Hollywood, too? They have that feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Egyptian and
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's so unique. It's so singular. Beautiful.
Yeah, you know what I was gonna ask you is, we were talking about Austin, Texas, and I just bumped into Richard Linklater like a couple weeks ago, and he was with Ethan Hawke, and they're doing the Boyhood. You know, I was in L.A. They were doing a Q&A in L.A., and they stopped by the hotel I was at, the Standard, and I was like, man, it just got me thinking about Austin. And just like, I've never been, but I love more the idea of Austin. Like, I'd never have to go to love the idea of it, where your brother's just built this studio in this airplane hangar, and Richard Linklater's built this studio in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's like you have to go, like, in through a forest. And okay, is there something that creatively, as an artist, because you're a musician too, that's nice to get away and, like, be in Austin, Texas, and not in Hollywood? Mike Judge was there forever. Like, there's so many great artists that are in Austin or based in Austin. What is it about Austin?
I think it's a maverick town. It's a liberal pocket in a conservative state. And it allows people to have autonomy, freedom, and to do their own thing. My brother has it written in his contract to not live in California, to not live in Hollywood. He made his own Hollywood, Texas. And I think he really turned Hollywood on its head to make them realize, no, you don't need $1 million to make your first film. He made it for $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't need top-notch actors to make your first film. He had actors that never acted. They weren't even actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he met one of his main actors, Mel Mariachi, at Pharmaco. They were literally donating their body to science to raise the money enough to make that first film. And it just was... It made the Guinness Book of World Records. So I think he's, like, in the forefront, inspiring young filmmakers to be filmmakers.
He did. He inspired our film. The film, I was up till 6 a.m. We're filming.
Yeah.
And it's a little more of a budget than his film was. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's what fascinates me so much about this. And it leads you then to one day having a film at the Hollywood Palms or at Hollywood Boulevard or whatever, and, like, that's the dream. And it's still kind of cool to believe in that dream, that it's not just all studio movies. And your brother, he's not in the Directors Guild, right?
In order to co-direct with Frank Miller, he had to...
He had to, finally.
Drop out.
Okay.
Yeah, they would not allow him because of the rules.
And okay.
Regulations. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just like, what does it take to... make the film faithful to its original.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to co-direct it with Frank Miller because he says Frank is a director, and without him, it wouldn't be true to his vision.
And it's so what's the word I'm looking for? But you use the panels of the graphic novels, like, it's dead on. Like, I could put a panel of the novel up against the movie, and they look the same. So I think it's important to have Frank Miller, right?
Yeah, he
like,
thought so too, yeah.
Yeah, it really lends itself that vision, that creative vision. Now, okay, so you've done a million movies with your brother. You've been like, I mean, your band was in Dusk Till Dawn.
Little kid.
That's why I was going to ask you. So when you were growing up, were you still the musician in the family? And Robert does music too, right?
He sure does.
Yeah, he does the scores for his movies.
My dad was a drummer. My mother played Spanish guitar. There are 10 children in the family, so they always encourage music and the arts.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when they interview me, like in the UK, they're like, what's it like to ride his coattails? I'm like, you know what? Let me take you down to when we were little children. He would always use this in his films. He couldn't go anywhere else. I mean, he'd have to pay them. With us, it was just so fun, and it would be for the family. So there's so many films that no one will see, you know, short films that manifested itself into what.
What age were you thinking you guys started, like, at the house doing films?
He started at 12 years old because my dad was a traveling salesman 6 days out of the week, and he was a door-to-door salesman of cookware.
Wow.
And he bought a camera to put himself on film, my dad, to show how to use that cookware, and so he could prove to his clients that he's knocking on every door to sell all over Texas and in the valley to raise 10 kids and put his private school. He was trying to figure a way how he can show the people how to cook. He didn't really know how to use the camera, so he gave it to my brother.
That's great. So it's kind of like, but the creative vibe's always been in the family.
Yeah.
It's always been there, even with something as simple as selling. Your dad's a salesman, and he was his idea, though, his vision was, I'm going to film me doing this so people know, oh, it works, and here's how you do it, and it's simple.
But that camera had no viewfinder. It was so primitive. It was back in the days of VCR. That's why my brother started editing on two VCRs.
Man,
I
remember
that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those cameras where you're holding, and you have to look at the television and see where, oh, there, okay. Can you imagine it was that primitive?
No, the first short we made when I was sick, I'm 31 now. I just turned 31 when I was like, 15, first short we made, we had to edit on a VCR.
Right.
So, like, it was the worst. And, you know, you always got that, like, you could tell it's edited on a VCR. It's really hard to, like. So I totally get that. Now, Crystal, your family, is that a creative arts family at all or what?
You know.
Or was it interesting when you went into that field? Because you're a former Playboy Playmate. Or, I mean, are you ever a former?
No.
Once you could always go back, right?
Always a Playmate.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I'm always going to be Miss May of 2009.
So that came, but that came second, right, to the acting career, right?
You know, I grew up where I was always the ham in my family. I loved being behind the camera, and I loved, you know, I was really interested in acting, and I was really interested in modeling, and so I actually made myself start doing pageants at a young age. You know, I made my mom make me. And so it was really cool to, like, grow up doing that just to push myself further and further and to, you know, go for my dream. But my other brothers and sisters weren't really interested in it. So it's kind of cool to be the only one in the family. But, you know, they're all really supportive.
What's the difference for you doing a movie and doing a model shoot? Because I have a model in my film right now. And I, like, see something in her where she could be a great character actress. Like, there's just something about her look. Because models do have, like, they don't all look alike, you know? Like, that's, like, what everyone thinks. They're, oh, no, models all look. No, the reason people become famous models is there's something unique about them.
Right.
So there's this unique look in her, and I'm like, man, she could really be a great character actress. So what is it, though, when you model and you act, like, what's the differences for you?
I mean, you are playing yourself when you're modeling, I say, but it's more just, you're thinking about your angles, I think, when you're modeling as well, as not as much as your lines and who you are in this character that you're acting in. So
how do you leave a model shoot not thinking about the angles in, like, real life? How are you in real life able to walk around with always not thinking about how you look and, like, how you come off and how you appear? Because I feel like with a lot of models I know, like, the flaw they have that drives them nuts. That drives them nuts is a lot of models are insecure. Is this true? Like, there's some insecurity, like, or there's this, like, they use too much confidence where, you know, it's kind of put on.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know a lot of models that leave, like, model shoots and in real life, they're always wondering how they look. And,
right.
Like, so is it, how do you like, get away from that after a shoot?
You know, I guess I'm not the typical model. I've always kind of grown up to be a little bit of a tomboy as well as, like, the beauty pageant girl. So I do agree that a lot of girls are insecure, but I think that that's just who they are. And, you know, everyone has insecurities. You know, I don't know. I feel chubby some days and some days I don't. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, how confident you are. And, you know, life, there's always going to be the next one, the next one. So you're constantly competing with other models. So I think that's the hardest part as a model is, you know, that there's always going to be someone younger, someone prettier.
And that's the same with acting,
you
know, too, and the same with directing and everything we've been talking about. Even while you're doing a film, you're always thinking in this business, in the Hollywood business, it's all about what's the next project. So I guess to wrap up with you guys, what are the next projects for, I mean, you got your music career and film. And so, Patricia, what for you is the next thing? And then we'll ask Crystal.
I'm heading over to Europe for my 2013.
You're doing another tour.
Yeah, with my own band. I write my own music. I just released my fifth album called Rattle My Cage on my own label, Bandolero Records. And so we're going over there for 28 shows in Germany and Holland.
Awesome.
And we played the Montreux Jazz Festival last year in July. And that's like the Rolls Royce of concerts or festivals.
That's great.
So I was representing my state of Texas, you know.
And then when you're in like the U.S. and you just want to do a gig, are you in Austin doing them or?
We tour regionally in Texas.
All over,
you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I've been able to open up for some of my heroes, you know, like Chris Isaac and
Rebels. Oh, that's awesome.
Tito and Tarantula.
Those are all great. Those are all great groups. I mean, Chris Isaac's amazing and Los Lobos is great. And Crystal, what's up for you next? You got anything on the plate?
I mean, I love my Playboy family, so I'm still doing events with them. And then I am working on a bathing suit line of my own called Honey Bee, H-U-N-N-Y-B. And I'm setting up the website right now, so it's honeybeewear.com. And I also have my own website, crystalmchale.com.
And last thing before I let you go, do a packed Q&A here at the Hollywood Palms. House Bunny. How close to the movie is it? And is it like a really popular movie? I gotta know. I just saw it for the first time.
I did
like a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was funny. I'm like, oh, this is a funny movie. Is it really close to like?
No.
Hugh doesn't kick you out at 27.
No.
He's like, you're done.
No. I lived at the Bunny House for 3 years actually.
Oh wow.
So it was the most amazing time. Like. Really great experience, and Heather's the sweetest person alive.
That's great. Okay. Well, you guys go enjoy your Q&A. It was so nice sitting down with
you.
Really. So nice. Thank you so much. And best of luck, Cincy, too.
Yeah,
Hollywood Palms. Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are doing Q&As all weekend. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much.
Patricia Vaughn and Crystal McHale. And by the way, God, I fucking love this Maroon 5 album. So that was our interviews for Sin City 2 with Crystal and Patricia. Ernie Hudson earlier. Tomorrow, next show, Daniel Baldwin, Jay Chandrashekar. People got to have a nickname for him or something. I hope you enjoyed today's abbreviated show. It's only going to be about a 50-minute show, folks. But like I said, I am wiped from doing the filming. And we get to post-production soon. I got like 3 other projects I'm working on. So next week, we will be back with live shows. And I promise they will be almost as funny as ever. They'll almost be funny, which will be a first for our show. So that's great. What else is going on real quick? Anything else? No. So thank you for tuning in. Hollywood Palms, thank you once again for having us all week. Route 59 there in Naperville, Illinois, for our worldwide listeners, United States. And thank you, Ernie Hudson, Crystal McHale, Patricia Vaughn, and I hope you guys all have a good day. And we will see you next time with Daniel Baldwin and Jay Chandrasekhar.